Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hi, how was your weekend? We're going to bring in Buzz here in just a second. But first, if you're pissed off at cable news and the both-siderisms there, here's an outstanding way to support independent media, specifically this podcast that you're listening to right now. For just $5 per month, you can support our Patreon page as we guide you through the madness and chaos of our politics. But it's not just about supporting shows like this one. You're also going to get bonus content as a reward for your monthly support. We're talking about exclusive access to our Shadow Docket show, recorded after the end credits on our Tuesday and Thursday podcasts. You also get access to the Patreon app, where you can download the free show and our bonus content. Plus, you can join the discussion with our community of Patreon members in the comments under each episode. All that for $5 per month, just pennies per show. Don't miss out. That's BobSuskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSuskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Shit's getting way too complicated for me.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, October 3, 2023, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Good day. I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 986 of the Biden-Harris administration, 398 days into the 24 presidential election. Find me on Instagram and Threads, the Bob Seska, Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go, Spoutable, Bob Seska, Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. And that guy sitting right over there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news. Yes.
Okay.
You said it all.
Yelling at people.
Jeez. I didn't know the show had a dress code. I had no idea.
How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thank you. I hope you are too.
Yes.
Hello, everybody. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And here's our pledge to you. If today's show starts to go south, one of us will pull the fire alarm.
Hey.
Hey, I thought this was impressive. On Sunday Night Football, the New York Jets were defeated by Taylor Swift. So
I only vaguely know what that story is about, but yeah.
So do I. Yeah. and never mind the fossil fuels, I'm starting to worry that the burning of books is causing climate change. Think about that?
Yeah.
We're learning so much as we experience climate change. Yeah. For example, the New York City floods, you know, we had over the weekend.
Yeah.
The New York City floods revealed that rats can do the backstroke. I didn't know.
Sure,
I didn't know that.
Really good. Olympians.
The actors are still on strike, but the writers are back.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Polish TV in Poland is being criticized for allowing the use of blackface on a competitive singing show.
Hmm.
That is so insensitive. I mean, if only Polish people knew what it's like to be mocked.
Man.
I see Melania Trump has negotiated a new prenup.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's like a post-nup prenup.
Yeah.
Under the new deal, when they get divorced, she gets everything west of the Rockies and New Orleans every other weekend. So they worked that out.
Yeah.
And last week we saw a video of Trump, remember? Trump fondling a gold-plated handgun.
Yeah.
The gun was reportedly designed with him in mind, short barrel and fires prematurely.
All right. Here we go with a brand new week. Kicking off with Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah. Hard times next for you. On your way to go sing, sing. They don't have chicken wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. My
Rock
God.
It on, Mike. Yeah. Like that
the
one.
High notes. Yeah.
That's right. Rocky MNT and Mike on Twitter. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Okay. Here we are. Another week.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And I think we're all up to our goddamn eyeballs in Donald Trump right now. Just so much Trump.
Oh,
so
I
much Trump the last three, 4 days.
I can't get enough of him, Bob.
I know. Goddamn. So today we've got a little bit of Trump, but we've got a lot of Elon Musk. We're going to talk about that here coming up in a bit. There's a pretty big story that came to us from Ben Collins at NBC News regarding Elon Musk and the white nationalist blueprint for Twitter. But before we get into all of that, we got to talk about Trump's pouty day in court up in New York City. Or, yeah, it was New York City, right? They're doing that trial in New York City.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, I'm losing track of all of the different criminal indictments and fraud trials and all the rest of it.
We need a map with push pins in it. Yeah.
Yes. Well, so many things happened in court yesterday. He looked sufficiently miserable, and that made me really, really happy. Probably pooping in his pants, pooping in his big boy diapers.
It was considered a surprise that he would show up, but it's now very obvious and much less of a surprise now that we've seen why he went and what it was all about. At one point, when they were broke for lunch, Trump was walking out of the room, preparing to leave the courtroom, and he turned around. He was 1 foot from Letitia James. He was 12 inches away from Letitia James when he leaned over and glared. I mean, that was the position he was in when he glared at her. Gave her one of those. And then after he walked away, she was seen laughing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do if he did that, that buzzard face of his.
And we should absolutely talk about why he was so pouty, why he was so scowly-faced, why he glared. A couple of things going on here. One, this is a way for him to be on the campaign trail while not on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
I had said on the show a year or so ago that Trump wouldn't be able to campaign because he'd be too busy to be too tied up in court. He's found a way. Mm-hmm. He's found a way to do both at the same time.
Yeah.
But you notice that imagine how you would feel if you were accused of rape. And let's say you didn't do it. But you'd been accused of it. Well, you'd be outraged. You'd be incensed. You'd fight for your innocence. You absolutely would.
Mm-hmm.
Trump didn't think that was so important in the case of E. Jean Carroll. He couldn't make it for that trial. Some of these other legal proceedings against him, documents, blah blah. He just couldn't be bothered with it.
Yeah.
But when it's about his money. And it's when it's about how much or how little money he has, now he cares. Oh, now it's the most important thing in the world. Now he's going to show you how mad he is because it's the only thing he has emotion for. It's the only thing he has love for is the amount of money people think he has.
Yeah, it's a fundraising opportunity for him because he gets a chance to talk to cameras and microphones. And, of course, they devour Donald Trump. I mean, the press that shows up at these events is waiting for Donald Trump to step out and say something obnoxious. That's just the way the system works right now.
And this is ego also. It's not just about how much money he has, but how much money you think he has. It's important to him that you know that he's rich, rich, rich.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, lying about being rich, rich, rich.
of course.
And there were so many lies. And you know what? Look, I liked Lawrence O'Donnell's approach last night. He said point blank. And I'm one of these guys who is really into amplifying Donald Trump because I strongly feel as though amplifying Donald Trump turns off those voters who can still be convinced. I still believe that there are voters that are like, I don't know. And I think continuing to emphasize the fact that this guy is a tyrant and a maniac will continue to push those people into the realm of voting against Donald Trump. So that being said, Donald Trump did continue to lie, and Lawrence O'Donnell didn't want to play any of those lies. He just didn't feel inclined to play clips of Donald Trump in court because that's exactly what Donald Trump wanted. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Don't talk about the fraud that I'm already guilty of in this case. Look at everything obnoxious that I'm saying. Oh my God, look, I just threatened the Attorney General of New York State. Like, for example, he lied about the jury trial. He said, it's very unfair, very unfair. We don't have a jury trial, even though we know the reporting came out yesterday as this whole thing was taking place that Elena Haba forgot. I almost called her Elena Hobbit.
Yeah, that's fine.
That you know what? That's a better name. I think I'm going to start calling her Elena Hobbit.
I'm fine with that.
Yes, she forgot to check the box for a jury trial. Well, when she should have checked that box. And so
it was certainly their option. It was certainly the Trump camp's option to ask for a jury trial. There are parts of this trial, especially since the judge has already determined that fraud was committed.
Yes.
Right. The judge has already that's already settled. That's a settled matter. He's been found guilty of fraud.
Yeah.
What this trial is about is what the penalties should be for that.
Yes.
And so the testimony is to give us some idea of what the intent was here and how severe the penalties should be.
Mm-hmm.
So his lawyer could have asked for a jury trial, but part of it would still have to be left to the judge, because when it comes to deciding the specific penalties, what the fine should be and all that, that's the kind of thing you don't leave to a jury. The jury is never presented with that. So the judge was going to have to decide. So it may have just been, well, you know what, since part of this is going to have to be a jury trial anyway, we may as well turn it into a series of campaign events.
Yeah. You know what Elena Hobbit did? She whizzed on the electric fence. Don't whiz on the electric fence. Everyone knows you don't do that.
In this case, it was unavoidable. You know? I mean, they they're going to find themselves, and they continue to find themselves in situations in which there are no good outs, there are no good options, and sometimes they're going to, in order to get out of an even worse situation, they're going to have to whiz on the electric fence.
And we know you don't do that. Don't whiz on the electric fence. Trump also lied about the statute of limitations thing. That was kind of a big deal that happened at the end of the day, like the last 5 minutes of the proceedings. And it was this weird confusion that was happening, because everyone's like, what? What is he talking about? Statute of limitations. What is that? Like Monica Crowley started screaming, hey, look, all the charges are being thrown out. And that, of course, wasn't the case at all. What the statute of limitations has to do with, it isn't even a thing in the context of this particular trial, but the statute of limitations had to do with evidence, not the charges, not the grounds for this lawsuit. It had to do with certain evidence that happened prior to, I believe, 2011. And so the judge, Judge Engoron, is making sure that any evidence that's from prior to 2011 that gets introduced in the course of this particular trial ties into something that occurred within the statute of limitations. So does that make any sense? Like, it's got to have some sort of pertinence to things that are actually admissible in court. And
right.
So it's going to be taken on a case by case basis. And because of Donald Trump and his very obvious brain worms, he didn't understand that it had to do with evidence. He thought it had to do with particular charges in this case. So what we're talking about here is Letitia James has brought up six counts here in this. And right. Judge Engoron has decided on one of those six counts having to do with the fraud and therefore getting rid of the Trump organization and Trump's properties and all the things that we talked about last week. The other five things are still going to be tried in the course of this trial without a jury, and putting everything in the lap of Judge Engoron. So this is Donald Trump making things worse for Donald Trump. Once again, Donald Trump's representation making things worse for him too, right?
He's operating under the delusion that his base will save him somehow. And this is this
whatever.
This is all for his base. I mean, he wants his base to think that blah, 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 the statute of limitations. He wants his base to think that he was denied a jury trial when, in fact, it was the choice of his own defense team not to pursue that. So these are the lies that he's telling his base to fire them up, hoping that they will save him somehow, especially when he says things like, you're going to have to go after this attorney general.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to think in the olden days, if a politician told a gaggle of reporters that they need to go after somebody, it just meant that they needed to go investigate.
It was like politics or something. Yeah.
It isn't clear with Donald Trump whether this is that or whether it is, in fact, more stochastic terrorism where he's, hoping someone in the listening audience will literally go after Letitia James.
Yes, we're going to go with stochastic terrorism. We're going to go with he's encouraging his gun-toting, freakish supporters to take matters into their own hands. And you know what? All he needs is one. All he needs is one. There's what? Maybe 74 million of them in this country, maybe more who don't vote. all you need is one, and that's all it takes. So the interesting question will be whether Judge Engoron applies a gag order.
You know, if in any of these cases, if Trump were to be charged with violating the terms of his, you know, of that had been set out by the judge, you know, I think there's some fear in the part of the judges that, well, they know he's going to violate it. Like if they make a rule, if they try to gag him, they know he's going to violate it. Mm-hmm. So then the judge has to ask themselves, well, what do I do with him then?
Yeah.
And there are options, certainly, but I don't think there are options that the judges are eager to get into. Mm-hmm. I think they want to avoid that as much as they can. But yeah, I mean, calling out the judge again in this case, as he has in the other cases, and we'll just see how long he can get away with it. I worry because I hear people saying, well, you notice, and I think maybe it was Lawrence, nobody's turning out. There are no crowds of Trump supporters turning out. Not even any unruly crowds, much less any rioters.
Yeah.
I worry that that kind of statement is tempting fate. And that we maybe should be careful not to speak too soon. No, nothing's happened from Trump world yet in terms of violence connected with these cases. Not anything terribly overtly, but it's, you know, I think we're tempting fate if we say we don't have anything to worry about there. I think it is still, there's still a potential for violence.
But on the upside, I don't know if this is an upside thing, but it's certainly defining what we're talking about here with regard to Letitia James and this particular trial. Elizabeth De La Vega was quote tweeted by Allison Gill and reminded us that this isn't necessarily about damages. This particular trial is about something called disgorgement.
Yes.
Disgorgement. Yes. I could use that in a sentence. Disgorgement is a remedy that requires one who profits from illegal acts to give up that money, even if no one was damaged. It's about unjust enrichment. So that's what we're talking about with this. Yeah.
Disgorgement is the court deciding, okay, you can't have this house anymore. You can't have this car anymore.
Yeah.
We're taking them away from you. So essentially robbing someone of their riches legally, that's disgorgement.
I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is the number, the dollar value that Trump could end up paying in fines, something like $600 million? Is that way over the top, or
I don't think it would be out of the realm, but I don't know. I haven't heard or seen those numbers.
Because I know that Letitia James is going for $250 million.
Right.
But it could be up to $600 million, depending on the evidence that's presented over the course of this particular trial. So
that'll be up to the judge and the person he selects to help determine that figure.
Yeah. But I mean, look, ultimately, irrespective of what Donald Trump says, I would much rather be Letitia James in all of this. I would much rather be in the position of Judge Engoron in all of this than Donald Trump. Duh. I noticed yesterday, too, there was the usual far right red hat memes going around. And one was this. It looked like a courtroom sketch, looked more like an AI version of courtroom sketch. And it was Donald Trump sitting next to Jesus. Uh-huh. And as soon as I saw that drawing going around, I was like, oh, so it was Jesus who forgot to check the box for a jury trial.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you earned that one.
Yeah. But it's so funny to see a portrayal of Donald Trump in a religious context, because as I've been saying, this guy doesn't give a flying fuck about Jesus or faith or Christianity. The only reason he cares about it is that people who do believe it love him so much. That's the extent of his,
It's not a cult, Bob. It's not a cult.
No, absolutely not. No.
That's why they put Jesus next to Trump.
Well, there's more legal news. You want to hear some good news, sure. Some good legal news here?
Yes, please.
Those of us who go back to Blogosphere 1.0, we all remember the name Bernie Carrick. He was he was basically Rudy Giuliani's right-hand man during 9/11. Yeah, exactly.
New York City Police Commissioner helped Giuliani clean up the crime, clean up the smut in Times Square.
Yeah. And then we all saw Bernie Carrick with Rudy Giuliani on and after 9/11. He was sort of Rudy Giuliani's main lieutenant, as they say. Mm-hmm. And obviously after that, we all know that he was convicted of tax fraud, just like his hero, Donald Trump. Well, now we have learned that Bernie Carrick has flipped in Fulton County.
All right.
Yeah, and plus, not yeah, he's asked for immunity in exchange for testimony in that particular trial. He has been subpoenaed to testify by DA Fonnie Willis. So that's great news. Another inner circle guy, another guy with big connections to both Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani, agreeing to testify. Plus, on top of that, as though that wasn't enough, co-defendant Scott Hall has also flipped.
And what tickles me about Scott Hall is he's a bail bondsman. His day job is yeah. He's a bail bondsman.
Right, and I think he is definitely involved in the infiltration of those voting systems in Coffee County with Sidney Powell.
Exactly, yes.
And so now he has flipped. He has pled guilty to 5 criminal counts, including the main charge of RICO, of course. Hall was one of the main defendants connected to Sidney Powell's attempt to tamper with voting machines. And if you haven't read that story about Sidney Powell and the Coffee County voting machines, go do a Google search. In fact, if you need to pause the show, please come back to the show. Please unpause when you're done researching. Or you could just continue to listen to the show and do your research while you're listening.
You know the internet's just going to distract you.
Yeah. Keep the show rolling. But go and do a search on Sidney Powell, Coffee County voting machines, and read the story of what happened there. I often use the metaphor of the Three Stooges fixing the plumbing.
Right.
That's what this was. These idiots went in and they were photocopying ballots, for God's sake. They were monkeying around with voting tabulation machines. And they were all doing this to defend Donald Trump. I still can't get beyond that. Forgive me for repeating myself a lot, Buzz, but I still am amazed by how many people are willing to break the law and then to go to prison in the name of Donald effing Trump. It makes zero sense to me, given that he would never do the same thing in return. In fact, he's more likely to throw all these people under the bus if he needs to, including his own children, but they're all willing to go to jail for him. I find that just astonishing and one of the lead indicators of the American nervous breakdown. You know what I mean?
The only thing I could say about those folks is that they genuinely in their hearts believe the things that Trump says he believes.
Yeah, it's just.
And in other words, I'm not even sure Trump believes these things, but these folks who are not only loyal to Trump, but they believe this BS. They believe the big lie. They believe the conspiracy theories. That's why it's easy. That's why they're willing to go down for the fight, because in their hearts, unlike Trump, who has no heart, in their hearts, they believe they are fighting on the side of right.
And by the way, speaking of Trump, we do have some things to talk about with regard to Tiny Trump. That will be coming up in the Shadow Docket portion of the show. Plus, I have a little thing to discuss with regard to Donald Trump's issues with water. Has a really difficult time talking about water, but we're going to cover all of that in the
I know what this is about, but I'll be eager to hear if it's what I think it is.
Yeah, so get ready for Tiny Trump to be released from his cigar box and to join us on the Shadow Docket show. On our Patreon page, by the way, patreon.com/Bob Sessa Show. Right, Tiny Trump?
You can't let that happen to me.
Yeah, he's so upset.
Yes, we can.
He's so upset. Now, we've got to talk about Elon Musk, and something we've obviously been discussing for some time now, since Elon Musk has made his moves to purchase Twitter and then to destroy Twitter.
I'm just set this up by saying this strikes me as shocking.
Yeah.
And when I saw a segment about it on Rachel Maddow last night, I texted Bob immediately. I said, "Are you watching this?" And he has watched it since. Because this not only underscores everything Bob's been saying about Elon Musk all along, we have hard evidence of this now, and it's absolutely shocking to me. I didn't see this coming.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been curious about the fact that Donald Trump declared his candidacy right around the same time Elon Musk took control of Twitter. And there has been obviously lots of reporting about why Elon Musk may have wanted to buy Twitter. Kimberly Johnson has been warning me and everyone else for many months prior to Elon Musk how immensely dangerous Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter actually is. And I started to see some of the things that Elon Musk was doing and saying, and I became very alarmed that this is all part of this larger plan to further autocracy in the world, to supplant democracy, to supplant the democratic system in many Western countries, not just the United States, and to replace that with some form of autocratic fascism. Here, of course, I like to describe it as fascist idiocracy, because it does have that dumb shit angle to all of it, too. It's fascism, but with a layer of dumb fuckery.
With a layer of white nationalism.
Yeah, that, too. I mean, obviously, racism is the big driving force behind it.
And you were not alone during all of this time in observing that it seemed like the wheels were coming off of Twitter. I think I'd said that a couple of times, holding it together with squirrels and Band-Aids at this point. Because we thought, well, this thing is just, well, apparently there was a method to all this madness.
Yes. Ben Collins from NBC News has published this piece about this guy named Darren Beatty, who was fired from the Trump White House for participating in a white nationalist panel with some guys from an organization called VDARE. You know what VDARE is, right?
It's this Virginia Dare,
Yeah, Virginia Dare was allegedly the first child born in the quote-unquote New World by Europeans. And this idea is to further the notion that the United States is a white country, that white people belong here. It's a whole thing with white supremacy, white nationalism, and there are people who are connected to that entire universe through this organization called VDARE, including Darren Beatty, who, of course, was too fascistic, too white nationalist for even the Trump administration. And so this guy runs a blog / website, Darren Beatty. And on that website, just prior to Elon Musk buying Twitter, there was an article that laid out a 4-step plan for what Elon Musk should do with Twitter once he purchases it, right?
Why he should buy it and what he should do with it, yes.
Okay, so according to Ben Collins, the author said that step one after a Musk takeover would be blame the platform for its users. He or she predicted, and this is, we don't know who wrote this article because a lot of the articles on this website are published under pseudonyms. Hey,
anonymous.
Hail, pseudonyms. Great idea for the internet. You know what? Just as a brief note, when I say shut down the internet, I'm saying it semi-ironically because I, of course, am on the internet. You are on the internet, Buzz. We're all on the internet, and I would like that to continue. But I'm saying that from the perspective of the internet being sort of the hub of why we face so many of these problems. It's just a way to illustrate that when you boil it all down, it's the internet and that's the problem. And this is another example of that, where you have this piece that's published on some, you know, third-rate blog / website run by a white supremacist, and suddenly it becomes the doctrine for an entire social media platform connected to this larger move toward autocracy and fascism in the world. So this author said, step one after the Musk takeover should be blame the platform for its users. He or she predicted that Twitter would be blamed for every so-called act of racism, sexism, and transphobia occurring on its platform. It's not the users, see, it's the platform that's sort of deferring everything and giving Elon Musk a reason to say, well, let's let those people back on. Let's have Donald Trump come back to Twitter. Let's bring back all those white nationalists and the people who engaged in the insurrection.
And this article warns that there's going to be trouble. People are going to, you know, you're going to lose advertisers. You're going to lose subscribers.
Yeah.
But that's not important because we're headed for a bigger goal.
Yes, exactly. And we're going to get, there's three more steps in all of this. Step four should be the most fascinating of them. We'll get into that here in a second. I mean, there's so many different dimensions to this particular story. There's the anonymous person who texted Elon Musk, or I should say not anonymous. I mean, it's an actual person. It's just, it was redacted in this court case where Elon Musk was sued by Twitter and Twitter's board to make sure that Elon Musk purchased Twitter. That's one of the weird dimensions to all of this. Like, Elon Musk at one point decided, yeah, you know what? I don't want to buy Twitter.
Right.
And Twitter sued him, forcing him to buy Twitter. So that's why Jack Dorsey and his stupid website, Blusky, can go F themselves. Because they're as guilty as Elon Musk is to an extent, as far as that transaction goes. But we're going to talk about this in more depth here in just a second. We've got to take a short break. And plus, on top of this particular story from Ben Collins, we also have to talk about how Russian propagandists have started praising Elon Musk, and they've even given him an appropriate nickname. We'll talk about that, too. Yeah. Plus, John Kelly confirmed that Trump hates the troops. We'll talk about that. How that isn't a thing larger in the news is beyond me. Plus, of course, Matt Gaetz. So much happening right now. It's a slow news day, isn't it, Buzz?
It is indeed.
All right. Back with more podcasts right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Party, USA! Yes, party, USA!
You know, whenever I listen to Freak Bass now, I can always see him playing the bass along with the song. And
yeah, same here.
Yeah.
And I always spot his music instantly.
Yeah, exactly. God, what you have to do is you have to follow Freak Bass on TikTok, follow him on Instagram, follow him on Twitter. He's got some of the best funk videos around. Yeah, this is a song, this brand new single called Party in the USA featuring Mudbone Cooper. Love it. Yeah.
He does bring the funk.
Yes, he does. He is the funk master of the great state of Ohio, indeed, right?
Great guy.
Okay, link in the description to support Freak Bass and get this brand new single into your record collection. Find this episode dated 10/3/23 at bobseska.com. Click that link, scroll on down, and there's links to support all the independent bands here on the show. Okay, getting back to this Elon Musk story. And you know what? There is a particular angle to this and where I'm kind of patting myself on the back just a little bit. I feel good that I kind of called this correctly, that this is about white nationalism. This is about...
You've done it again, yes.
Yeah, this is about going after the globalists, which is a dog whistle for Jews.
Right.
The article also predicted that step two Are we up to step two now, Buzz? We're already up
to
step two.
I think we're up to step two, yes.
Yes. Would involve a, quote, coordinated pressure campaign by the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and other nonprofit groups to get Musk to reinstate the banned accounts. Uh-huh. So that's step two. Of course, the pressure campaign happened. There was pressure on advertisers. Advertisers fled the platform.
Right.
The next step, we're up to step three now. Step three would be the exodus of the blue checks. The term blue checks refers to a former identity verification system on Twitter that confirmed the authenticity of the accounts of celebrities, public figures, journalists. Musk experimented with and ultimately eliminated Twitter's verification system of blue checks. As the article predicted, the removal resulted in a public backlash and an exponential drop in advertisers and revenue. Other developments, including Musk's drastically reducing the number of staffers who monitor tweets and a rise in hate speech, also attributed to the dynamic. So that's the very next thing. And then the final prediction is step four.
Or advice. Yeah.
And that has yet to happen. That would be the deplatforming of Twitter itself, which means that the major distributors of apps and so on would say, okay, Twitter's gone too far. Bye-bye, Twitter. We're no longer going to distribute your app on our platforms. And that would essentially be the end of Twitter. But ultimately, that's the goal, right? I mean, that's the...
That was the purpose.
Yeah, Darren Beatty and this website wanted to convince Elon Musk to destroy Twitter in this war against globalists.
For the last year or two, we've been telling each other, it's like he wants to destroy Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like he's trying to destroy. Well, guess what? He was. That was the plan. That was the goal all along. And it was predicted that Ben Collins uncovered an email in which Musk was advised, you're going to take a hit from this. You're going to lose subscribers. You're going to lose advertisers.
Yeah.
Blame it on the ADL, which he did. He took that advice. He did as he was instructed to do, and did blame it on the ADL.
Yeah.
So, this was not a plan. It was also advice. It was pressure on Elon Musk to do the very things that he has done.
And so I think step four could end up happening sometime next year or after the 2024 election. And Donald Trump somehow wins and is propelled to victory based on some obvious disinformation and propaganda on Twitter itself.
Having the, power is addictive. And Musk having the power of a social media platform that he has. I mean, that's power.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be hard for him to give that up. I think it's going to be hard for him to let that go, and especially through this election. And I think they feel they still have work to do and work that they can do with this machine that they're about to destroy.
Yeah.
There was, I think, an announcement that Twitter was hiring. They were hiring people for their election integrity unit.
Yeah.
And now Elon Musk turned around and fired the people in that unit, including the guy who posted the tweet about we're hiring people for the election integrity unit. So the last thing he wants is election integrity. That, too, is part of this plan.
I think what would deplatform Twitter is the same thing that got a website like 8kun deplatformed. Mm-hmm. I think it would have to be some kind of insurrection or some version of that, somewhere in the spectrum of insurrection, like some sort of violent uprising occurring in whatever location, and that uprising having something to do with radicalization on Twitter. That's what could lead to Apple and Google saying, all right, you know what? Twitter has abused, or Elon Musk has abused Twitter to do this and that, so therefore we're going to stop providing it on our platforms.
I'm deeply surprised and disappointed they haven't done so already.
Yeah.
When you look at the anti-Semitism and the white nationalism that's spread throughout Twitter now, making it unavoidable,
mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that Apple and Google would continue to allow that to be distributed by their stores.
This article that offered all these suggestions expressed sympathy for the Russian government-controlled news outlets Russia Today and Sputnik. saying they had unfairly, quote, canceled, or they had been unfairly, quote, canceled after Russia invaded Ukraine. Musk ended the use of state-sponsored media labels on Twitter this year, dropping it from the accounts of Russia Today, Sputnik, and many other state-owned organizations. The change reportedly prompted RT editor Margarita Simonia to send Musk a note of appreciation. So how kind, how kind of Elon Musk to help them out this way, of course.
He's doing Putin's work for him.
Yeah. So do you have any guesses as to who texted that Beatty article to Musk? Do you have any ideas?
No, I don't.
You know, the first person I thought of was Steve Bannon. Because
could be
Darren Beatty is connected to the Bannonverse. He's connected to that. Yeah, to that whole world. And I think Steve Bannon is just the kind of chaos agent to say, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, Elon, check out this article. You'll be very interested in the plan that's outlined here, because we are going, after all, we're going after the globalists. And that's one of Steve Bannon's main things. So this to me screams out Steve Bannon. In addition to screaming out white nationalism, obviously connecting Elon Musk with white nationalism and emphasizing the fact that he's in this as a chaos agent. He's in this to undermine democracy. He's in this to facilitate the uprising of fascism. He's in this definitively to hijack one of the most important global communications platforms in the history of human civilization and to turn it into a force for evil until it is finally deplatformed, to run it into the ground, but to milk it for all it's worth. It's almost like doing a bust out, you know, the old mafia move where they would take over a bar or something like that owned by someone who owed them money. And then they would pillage the whole thing. You know, they bring supplies in the front door and take them out the back door and sell them at a gigantic profit and then light a match and then burn the whole place down. It's a mafia bust out. That's what Elon Musk is doing, but with the intent of bringing about the rise of fascism in this world, in the United States, fascist idiocracy.
Yeah, being a chaos agent is the style. It's the fashion now.
Yeah.
You have pipsqueaks like Matt Gaetz who are chaos agents, and then you have probably the two most dangerous chaos agents in the world, Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
Yeah. Isn't Darren Beatty connected to Matt Gaetz?
I think. Yeah, he worked briefly for Gaetz. He's been a speechwriter for, I don't know, Nazis. He's got a history. He wrote for a conservative paper that decided that every once in a while purges itself of white nationalist authors. And so he got kicked out of that. So he's been sort of passed from office to office. And for a brief period, he did work for Matt Gaetz.
Yes, he was hired in, it's right here. He was hired in 2019, April of 2019, as a speechwriter for Matt Gaetz.
Right.
So that's Matt Gaetz's connection to white nationalism.
Not that there was ever any doubt, yeah.
I get super frustrated, as we all do. We get full of rage and righteous anger whenever the press sidesteps this whole concept of the Republicans being co-opted by fascists and white nationalists, and which is oftentimes one and the same. But you know what I mean? And so why we're still tiptoeing around this?
It's a better business model for the media to pretend there are still two even sides.
It drives me crazy.
It does more than drive us crazy.
Yeah.
Those of us who are saying it endangers democracy.
Of course. And this other element with Elon Musk having to do with Russia, they love him in Moscow.
Of course.
According to the Daily Beast, as a special bonus for supporters of the Russian war effort, Elon Musk over the weekend mocked Ukrainian President Zelensky on X for seeking international support to help his country repel a genocidal aggressor. We already know that Elon Musk sabotaged the Ukrainian army by disabling Starlink with some stupid goddamn excuse. The American bullshit detector is fucking broken. There's so many people here who just cannot see bullshit when it falls onto their heads. I mean, it's impossible to miss. Elon Musk, full of shit. Obviously. Donald Trump, full of shit. Obviously. Predictably, Musk's cruelty, according to the Daily Beast, brought joy to Putin's mouthpieces. During Monday's broadcast of 60 Minutes, state TV host Olga Skabiva noted, quote, "It's impossible not to notice that the West is getting sick not only of Zelensky, but Ukraine as a whole, as a circumstance that is constantly siphoning away their money. Elon Musk is magnificent. He is wonderful, and perhaps he really is our agent." What have we been calling him for some time now? A chaos agent? Yeah. Right. Connecting him to Russia? Yeah.
Yeah. All correct.
He published a meme, this is continuing the quote, he published a meme about a beggar that recently became popular using Zelensky's face instead of that person. It says, "When it's been 5 minutes and you haven't asked for $1 billion in aid." Ha 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 ha! Hilarious.
Yeah, see, this is, again, just as a reminder for everybody, the saving of Ukraine is the saving of democracy worldwide.
Yeah.
Ukraine is, Zelensky is correct and accurate when he says Ukraine is fighting this battle on behalf of the entire rest of the free world.
Yep.
And that's why it's important that the entire rest of the free world continue to support that effort. Republicans, many of whom also have connections to Russia, are trying to shut that down, are trying to shut down aid to Ukraine. And the other thing that we should mention in the Ukraine context before we, you know, go back to our own agenda for today is that we're going to be blamed, or the Democrats are going to be blamed or accused of caring so much about Ukraine that we're ignoring important domestic issues at home.
Oh, like Jesus.
For example, crime. For example, a Democratic congressman last night getting carjacked in D.C. Republicans are going to be all over this today, saying, "Well, see, it's there that you go, the Biden administration going after Trump and ignoring the rampant crime in this country, spending money on Ukraine while ignoring the rampant crime in this country." I just think it's important as we do these shows to point out to our listeners what we're up against, and you know, the context in which all of this occurs. So it is important that we continue to support Ukraine in defense of democracy on behalf of the world, just prepare yourselves for the accusations that will be hurled at Democrats.
I got to be honest about something. There's a thing, I don't know if it's a general observation or one that's specific to the left, but I sometimes see it on the left where we pick up on stuff after it's too late. We notice after it's too late to do anything. It was like, I always use the example of the Wendy Davis filibuster. There was a anti-abortion law that was being passed in Texas. Wendy Davis, as a member of the state legislature, tried to filibuster that. And we only found out about that law the night that Wendy Davis was filibustering. It wasn't a point of discussion any time prior to that, except maybe locally in Texas. And so that was one of those things that I wish we knew about that before it actually happened. You know what I mean?
That's why I bring this stuff. That's why it's important to me to bring this stuff to our people.
It's important for us to not be blindsided when shit goes down. And a part of, I think, what we do on this show is not only do we bring the zany laughs and entertainment.
Oh, we're wacky.
Yes, we are quite wacky. But we also try to, you know, be a warning signal. Try to, you know, stand up on the on our chairs and take a look at the long view and see what's coming around the corner, so we can all be prepared. And we all know what to say when that thing finally happens. And that's why sometimes there's this weird mix of fun and horror show all at the same time.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it.
And yeah, without the laughter, the rest would be intolerable.
Right. So the capper at the end of this story, the end cap at the end of the Elon Musk story, is that during the evening broadcast of 60 Minutes, Skabiva was still praising Musk for his anti-Ukrainian stance. She proudly noted that, quote, "the wealthiest person in the world," unquote, is now known as Elon Muskel, meaning Elon the Muscovite. Elon of Moscow. That's what we're talking about here. So that's all you need to know. What we need to do is proceed accordingly. Elon Musk is an agent of Russia. He's an agent of chaos. He's an agent of fascism. And a lot of it has to do with, as we saw with the Darren Beatty story, it's Elon Musk being influenced by people and Elon Musk not being smart enough to be able to evaluate what's righteous or, and what's not. Or
Elon Musk, who's racist enough and fascist enough to agree with all this.
Right, right. Well, and also realizing, too, that there's money in this kind of radicalism. I mean, ultimately, Elon Musk is about making money. You don't become the wealthiest person in the world without having a gargantuan appetite for making as much money as possible. And he sees that maybe from his perspective, the writing is on the wall. The future of the world is fascist. The future of the world is run by Russia and not the West, etc. And so Elon Musk is facilitating all of that through all of this shit that we're seeing, using Twitter as a springboard to bring about that eventuality.
By the way, there's another popular American in Russia right now.
Yeah.
In addition to Elon Musk, we don't see much of or hear much of Tucker Carlson in this country anymore, but they still run segments of his new commentaries on Russian television.
Yes, they do.
So there are among us very real Russian agents.
Yes, and they have money and they can control the conversation, the discourse to an extent. Right. And so that's one of the reasons we need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of the warning signs. And when we see people who would otherwise vote rationally in our elections starting to mention things like, well, you know what? Elon Musk is a smart guy and he's done some good things. No, stop them right there in their tracks and don't allow them to continue saying that. And when you see it, act accordingly. I think that's the idea.
My rule of thumb is, and you were talking about Blue Sky earlier and Jack Dorsey. I don't trust Jack Dorsey. I don't trust Elon Musk. Yeah. I don't trust Mark Zuckerberg. I don't trust any of these guys.
Yeah, that's a good approach to take.
I think we all just need to assume that, except for Spoutable, that most of these things are corrupt.
Yeah. Well, that's why, and I've said this a million times, it's one of the reasons why I hope Spoutable is the one that succeeds. And it seems doubtful because it seems like everyone has decided, oh, yeah, Mark Zuckerberg, that guy who sold or took rubles to sell Russian propaganda on his platform, that's the guy we're going to go with this time.
Well, it's just easier. I mean, for a lot of people who already had Facebook, for example, or anyone, it's very easy to do threads as well. It was an easy transition. There was a degree of familiarity, brand familiarity there. So some advantage. I hope that Christopher Boozy is patient and holds on to a belief that I like, which is eventually they will come. Eventually, because we are in the right.
Yeah.
Because we are in the right, we're going to do all right.
I'm a strong believer in slow and steady wins the race. And I hope that's the case with Christopher Boozy. The problem that we face in this country, and in fact around the world in the internet age, see also my previous rant about shut down the internet, is that it seems like clout supersedes everything. Having online clout, and that's one of the reasons why folks have gone to Threads and why Threads appears to be the next alternative to Twitter that will maybe stick to the wall, because there is the engagement that people want happening on Threads. And so consequently, because clout rules the day, it seems like that's the most logical next step, in spite of the fact that Mark Zuckerberg is almost as much of a demon as Elon Musk is.
People want to be, I think it's just a human nature, people want to be on the winning team.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that intrigues people about polls, public opinion polls, is they want to be confirmed correct, or at least confirmed in the majority. I think some people form their opinions based on what the majority thinks in a poll. That's why I think polls can be dangerously influential. But I think some people kind of wait and see what the majority has to say and then go with the winning team.
Right. And I hope the winning team is Spoutable, but it's one of those things where I hear a lot of, it's not very exciting on Spoutable. It's much more exciting on Threads, so I'm going to be over there. Again, clout superseding values, clout superseding a stable democracy. So once again, Donald Trump is built on clout. That's his entire thing. He's all about clout.
And that's why he's so angry and so in your face at that trial in New York is because his clout is being questioned. How dare you question his clout?
So finally, speaking of Donald Trump, John Kelly has confirmed reporting from The Atlantic from a couple years ago. There was a piece written by Jeffrey Goldberg in The Atlantic. We all know the one. It was the Suckers and Losers piece. Said that Donald Trump was commenting on POWs and wounded soldiers, soldiers killed on the line of duty, and referring to them as suckers and losers, etc. And now John Kelly has officially stepped out and confirmed that he is the source for that story.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you
so much for. I don't. It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable.
Yeah, it is.
That he did not call this out at the time in real time.
Yeah. Right, right. And the inclination here, I'm going to read the Kelly quote here in a second, but the inclination here is to focus on exclusively John Kelly and what he did or didn't say. The takeaway from this story is, why the fuck is the ongoing meme 24/7 not that Donald Trump is an unpatriotic hater of the troops? Why is that not the main thing? Because I remember distinctly, Buzz, in the years, mm-hmm. I underscore the word years after 9/11. The left was continuously hectored and pilloried for allegedly being against the troops, for allegedly disrespecting the troops.
You're either with Republicans or you're with ISIS.
Right.
Kind of the attitude.
Exactly. In the meantime, the Republican Party basically added American patriotism to their brand to the point where some liberals are like, well, I don't want to put a flag out because people are going to think I'm Republican. You know, it's like the American flag suddenly became synonymous with being a Republican somehow. And that was one of the many side effects, one of the many awful consequences of 9/11 in addition to the mass death.
I've thoroughly confused my neighbors by flying an American flag and having one of those signs that says love is love. So,
yeah, right. What's he all about?
Yeah.
So this needs to be something that we hang around the necks of the Republicans like an albatross, that the leader of their party thinks the troops, and we're not just talking about any soldiers, any military veterans. We're talking about troops who gave their lives in war, Gold Star families, et cetera. These people are suckers, according to the leader of the Republican Party. John Kelly said, "What can I add that has not already been said? A person that thinks those who defend their country in uniform or are shot down or seriously wounded in combat or spend years being tortured as POWs are all suckers, quote unquote, because, quote, there is nothing in it for them. A person that did not want to be seen in the presence of military amputees because, quote, it doesn't look good for me, unquote. A person who demonstrated open contempt for a Gold Star family, for all Gold Star families, on TV during the 2016 campaign, and rants that our most precious heroes who gave their lives in America's defense are, quote, losers and wouldn't visit their graves in France. A person who is not truthful regarding his position on the protection of unborn life, on women, on minorities, on evangelical Christians, on Jews, on working men and women," Kelly continued. "A person that has no idea what America stands for and has no idea what America is all about. A person who cavalierly suggests that a selfless warrior who has served his country for 40 years in peacetime and war should lose his life for treason." Talk about Mark Milley. "An expectation that someone will take action. A person who admires autocrats and murderous dictators. A person that has nothing but contempt for our democratic institutions, our Constitution, and the rule of law. There is nothing more that can be said," Kelly concluded. "God help us." And that was Donald Trump's chief of staff, and prior to that, his Secretary of Homeland Security, in that 1 4-year span of awfulness.
Well, that speech, that quote, needs to be spread far and wide.
Yeah.
It is still unforgivable that Kelly didn't speak up at the time that this was happening, and that it could be, you know, hammered ever since. We've known it. We remember this coming up, and then thanks to the fire hose of news and the constant moving parts, our attention moves on to other things, and we forget about this. We forget that he called those who gave all losers and suckers.
Yeah, I think it would benefit the cause of democracy. It would benefit the cause of putting down this fascist movement if the Democratic Party and all of its surrounding super PACs spending money on advertisements began to frame Donald Trump immediately as being unpatriotic,
right,
as hating the troops. I think this suckers and losers thing, now that John Kelly is on the record, has got to be emphasized, because enough is enough with this guy. How many times can he insult America itself, the very foundation of what this country is built upon, and not get perpetually called out about it? It's so easy to chase down his little stupid things, which we often do on this show. But I like to think that we always come back around to the fact that Donald Trump is an enemy of democracy. Donald Trump is an enemy of the Constitution. Donald Trump is an enemy of the United States of America, and always has been, whether it's his cooperation with Vladimir Putin and Russia, everything that John Kelly just said. I don't need to relitigate everything John Kelly just said in this statement. But what I'd really like to see, Buzz, though, is I'd like to see if there is audio, if there is video of John Kelly saying that. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see his face actually saying it. Because the only problem with this particular statement is that it appears to have been a written statement, which in our modern age of internet and sound bites and video and TikTok and cable news doesn't resonate as much.
TV news isn't concerned with something if they don't have video for it.
Yeah,
we gotta have video. We gotta have moving pictures. And I think you're right. I think as far as credibility goes in the minds of the American people, they would like to see a face attached to that. I wish this could be part of campaign advertising.
This needs to be
something that the Democrats are running ads for. Now, because I think we have to bypass the news programs since they can't be trusted much.
Yeah.
So maybe advertising is the way to go.
And bear in mind that this, I think, is a bold step by John Kelly to take. I think he stops short of being ultimately effective in this. I think there's an element of, well, I'm going to say this, but I'm not going to say it in a way that can be co-opted and used in any meaningful way. You know what I mean? It's just like, he's right up to the line, and he's like, if I say it like on video, then it's going to be in ads. It's going to be all the things that Buzz and Bob are talking about on the, he's not going to say it. He's not going to mention us. Wouldn't that be funny if John Kelly were a listener?
Well, we'd be honored.
Yeah, right. Never going to happen. Never, ever, 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 ever. Okay. So we still got to talk about Matt Gaetz and the speakership, the chaos in the House of Representatives. Republicans in disarray. Also still not a thing, is it? We're going to talk about that. And there's been an announcement on Dianne Feinstein's replacement in California. All that and more right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
plane. I give up my money for the next train. I give up my honey if it's all the same. I give it all up for you. I've been looking for a willow in the wind, a temporary place to hide within.
You know, this is a great autumn song. I don't know, for some reason it's got that flavor. It feels like autumn, feels like fall. This is the great Luke LeBlanc. And one of his brand new singles is called A Place from his forthcoming album, From Places. That's the name of the album. That's going to drop on October 27th. So get ready for the brand new Luke LeBlanc album coming your way.
The
link
guitar,
in the description.
The guitar, the instrumentation make me smile.
Yeah.
Very, very cheerful in that way.
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. One of the best recording artists we play here on the show, Luke LeBlanc. Remember that name. And you know, I received such a lovely thank you video from one of our favorite recording artists on the show. King Cyborg sent me a DM on Instagram where she was thanking me for playing her music. And it was so nice to see. It was such a nice little thing because I like King Cyborg is one of those recording artists who I think should be accepting all the Grammys at every single Grammy ceremony. And should be a household name and all the rest of it. I really admire her music and what she's doing. Of course, her backstory is incredibly compelling. If you haven't listened to my interview show with King Cyborg, go back to the archives and check that out. And then suddenly when she's sending me a video thanking me for playing her music, I'm like, hey, look. Yeah, you should be the most popular recording artist in the world. The fact that you sent me a video makes me feel really good and completely unnecessary, but I do appreciate it.
That's very
nice. So, yeah, it was nice. It was very nice. So let's get into Matt Gaetz here before we wrap up the show today.
Yes, we'll go from talking about very nice people to very unnice people.
Yes, on the opposite end of the spectrum, there's Matt Gaetz with his giant forehead calling for vacating the speakership. Let's listen to the sound of Matt Gaetz completely screwing over his party.
The gentleman will state the form of his resolution.
Declaring the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives to be vacant. Resolved that the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives is hereby declared to be vacant.
So what happens next, Buzz Burbank? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what I know anyway about what's going to happen next. When this happens, what he just did was legal under House rules. And when that happens, when a single member puts that forth, then the office is considered vacant.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. And so there has to be a vote now to say, okay, well, is that the case or not? McCarthy, who has said he'll take this on, says he will conduct a vote this afternoon. People have made sport, Bob, and I meant to talk to you about this before the show, but we'll just cover it here.
Okay.
People have made sport about what's going to happen after you and I finish recording Tuesday's show.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And, you know, it was fun for a while, but I'm over it.
If anyone's talking about this show, I'm totally into it. If you're going to tweet about this show, please do. Yeah.
We appreciate that. Yeah. We appreciate the buzz that surrounds that, no pun intended. But there will be something that will happen this afternoon. McCarthy says he will call for that vote, that he'll bring it up today. It has to be whenever a member makes a motion to vacate, the House has 48 hours to vote on it.
Yeah.
So McCarthy isn't even going to wait the 48 hours. He's going to have the vote this afternoon, sometime after we finish the show.
Yeah.
I don't know what to predict. I think he will survive. I believe that he will. Gaetz, because being a chaos agent, says that he will keep doing this. Because he can. There's no limit on how many times you can do this. He says he'll do this 15 times if he has to. Now, 15, of course, is the number of votes it took to get McCarthy elected Speaker of the House. It took 15 attempts by the House just to get him barely elected in the first place.
Yep.
Now, the question is, will he be voted out? I think Gaetz has three other lawmakers. He needs five.
Yeah.
Whether or not he can have five by this afternoon or by any of these 15 votes coming up, I don't know. But I do know this. That by Matt Gaetz bringing this up, motion to vacate, and doing it up to 15 times, remember where we left off at the end of last week. The government was about to shut down.
Yeah.
Agencies were preparing to shut down until at the last minute, McCarthy sided with the Democrats just for the sake of keeping government open. Mm-hmm. McCarthy miraculously did the right thing and ignored his conservative caucus and joined with the Democrats and voted to keep government open. That's what Gates is punishing him for, is siding for the Democrats. Never mind that AOC may be now helping, even though she probably shouldn't, and maybe helping Gates in this effort. I don't think they're going to succeed, but what it will do, Bob, and everybody listening, is it will burn up the 45 days the House has to come up with a new budget package.
Yeah.
So the time that should be spent on preventing another go-to-the-edge government shutdown is being wasted instead on, do we have a speaker? Don't we have a speaker? Mm-hmm. And here's the proof. Here's the proof that Gates is nothing but a chaos agent. When asked who he'd like to see in that job instead, he has no answer.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't care. It's just all about chaos.
It's all about the chaos, and it's all about, I have to wonder if he isn't intentionally forcing a government shutdown by burning up that 45 days with his efforts against McCarthy.
Well, I think they'll be able to do more things than just one. I think they'll be able to preoccupy themselves with other duties at the same time. But that being said, when I started doing the show on a daily basis, when it became something that we went from doing one show a week to doing two shows a week,
right,
then we added the Wednesday interview show, three shows a week, plus the after party makes four. Then you add the two Shadow Docket shows, that's six. Anyway, because of that, we cover a very finite period of time, a very finite look at the news. Rather than a whole week's worth of news, we're talking about 24 hours worth of news. And sometimes, because we record the show during the day and things happen during the day, it's bound to happen after we're done recording the show.
Of course it is.
Shit's bound to go down. I just think it's funny that there's this coincidence and there's this ongoing meme. It gets people talking about the show. And I'm more than happy to to play along with that. That's fun.
Well, I didn't mean to be Mr. Grumpy Pants, but I don't want people to think that we're missing the big stories.
Well, no, of course not.
Over the course of the week, we get it all covered.
Yeah, right, know, right.
So, from that standpoint, I would, well, I'd be over here chilling.
Yeah, there are some people who listen to the show, like they'll pick up the Tuesday show, this show that we're recording, and they'll listen to it like a week later, or even some cases 2 weeks later.
Right.
And so in that case, they're not really getting whatever that breaking news item was after the show, but they are getting it on the subsequent shows. So there is a delay in listening with some people, but that's okay, because if they listen to subsequent shows, they'll get all that information. It's not like people are going, hey, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that show because they didn't cover that thing that happened after they were done recording the show.
I just don't want people to think that we've made a career out of doing expired shows.
Nope, I don't think so. But anyway, so there's that. But you know what? It was funny because after Matt Gaetz called for vacating the speakership, the Democratic side of the House erupted in laughter as Gaetz left the floor. It was almost like he said his thing. Let's just actually do it. We'll recreate what it was like on the floor of the House.
The gentleman will state the form of his resolution.
Declaring the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives to be vacant. Resolved that the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives is hereby declared to be vacant.
See, there you go. It was almost as though there was a rim shot there and then children laughing for some reason.
The Democrats are in an interesting position here because if Gates does, in fact, need their help to maintain his job, what do we get in return? What's he willing to give us? So this is an interesting political moment in the House. And so this is one occasion I'm glad to be focused on, even just one day of it. But I'm making a prediction for the next 45 days that various monkey shines will prevent them from dealing with the budget matters that need to be dealt with.
Kimberly Johnson from the Start Me Up podcast is concerned that they're going to nominate Donald Trump to be speaker.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Constitutionally, they could. Yeah. I mean, the Constitution does not prohibit it. It does not require that the Speaker of the House be a member of the House. This has been discussed before.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll do it, especially since he's become increasingly poisonous.
Yeah. They do not have the votes. There are just not the votes for that.
Right.
One other thing, Gavin Newsom has announced that Dianne Feinstein's replacement will be, where is it? It's coming up here. LaFonza Butler. Mm-hmm. That is her name. She is the replacement for Dianne Feinstein, and she's apparently a very, very well-qualified one.
She has worked hard as a Democratic activist, getting women on the ballot.
Yes.
Through Emily's List, very active in campaigning for women's health choice rights. This was an excellent choice for Newsom to make. A lot had been made in the week leading up to this, or the time between Feinstein's death and the appointment of LaFonza. There was a lot of speculation about the pressures that Gavin Newsom was under. Some people wanted him to appoint Barbara Boxer, who's been a long time. But Barbara Boxer is a candidate, was already a candidate to replace Feinstein in the 24 election, as are Adam Schiff and Katie Porter. So, Newsom didn't want to be in a position to be giving someone the job who was running for the job. And so he was determined from the outset to choose someone temporary. And I think as temporaries go, he couldn't have done better.
Yeah, you know what? I don't envy you voters in California having to choose between Adam Schiff and Katie Porter in the primary that's going to occur there.
They do their homework. They'll know what to do.
Also, there's something here that popped up while we've been doing the show out of Arizona. This is according to Rolling Stone. Prosecutors probe Trump's effort to steal Arizona's election years after he lost. So these are prosecutors in Arizona. They're looking into the extent to which Donald Trump and his allies were still working behind the scenes to reverse the results of the 2020 presidential election years into Joe Biden's presidency. So this is not the investigation taking place years into Biden's presidency, which is actually happening, but they're talking about possible criminal actions that have occurred years into Biden's presidency. According to two people with knowledge of the situation, investigators with the Arizona Attorney General's office are inquiring about efforts to overturn the election that continued well into 2021 and 2022. Right. The sources say that the investigators have asked about a 2022 pressure campaign from Trump allies aimed at decertifying the state's electors and inquired about how deeply the former president and his senior advisors were involved in supporting Arizona Republicans' privately run 2021 election audit. Yeah, this may be spurred on by Fulton County, of course. This may be spurred on by the Jack Smith case in Washington, D.C. Regarding January 6th, et cetera.
And or simply the passage of time for an investigation.
Yes, exactly. Starting a possible avalanche.
Right.
I mean, that's what I think these cases may have triggered more state attorney general to look at these particular charges.
We can certainly hope for that. But this is another example of what I was saying earlier. And that is there are two kinds of Republicans. Those who say they believe these crazy theories.
Yeah.
Like the stolen election. And those who really, really believe it.
Yeah.
The people who are going down. Here again, in this case in Arizona, are the people who really, really believed it.
Okay, so in May, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays's office opened an investigation into a Trump-backed effort by Arizona Republicans to put forth a bogus slate of electors sworn to support the former president when it came time to cast Arizona's Electoral College votes. But investigators have recently been asking questions that indicate an interest in efforts to overturn the 2020 election that took place well after Biden's inauguration. Fascinating and really encouraging. I'm telling you, every time I see a story like this, I feel like the system is showing that it's robust.
Yeah.
We may not be victorious every single time out. The system may not win every single time. But I think the system is, and institutions are showing their strength and fortitude right now in the face of one of the most serious threats to American democracy, at least since 1860.
There are two doors in front of us now. One has us on the doorstep of autocracy. The other has us on the doorstep of justice.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more and more justice.
Exactly right. Okay. Well, we've got more justice in the shadow docket coming up. How about that for a segue?
Yeah.
That's all happening on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. That's the address. Go there. You'll find a box that says the shadow docket shows. It's $5 a month. You click that box and then you put in your information. And then you go back to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, and bingo, you can start listening to the Shadow Docket show. Yeah. So that's what you do. Let's see. We've got Tiny Trump and his ongoing issue with water.
Yes.
Including the best thing that Donald Trump has ever said in public. Talk about that in a second. Plus, No Labels Joe Lieberman lies again. We'll talk about that too. RFK Jr. in the news. And lots more fun. Plus some good news about the economy. Okay. Great. See you over there, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.